This is episode one of the Topsoil Podcast.
Well, welcome everybody. This is the initial recording of the Topsoil Podcast, and I'm here with Mitch Hora, my co-host. For all of you first-time listeners,
this is the first episode.
My name's Trent Stout. I'm in the seed business here in Washington County, and Mitch Hora, my co-host here, is in the consulting business, and we'll get into that just a little bit later here. But essentially what we're doing is we're creating a podcast show
helping guys with hot topics in agriculture, what's going on, trying to provide some feedback on what we're learning from the people that we work with and the events that we're going to, trying to keep up on some of the hot topics and share what we are learning with a larger audience, trying to help people out. But we're looking for a lot of feedback too. So looking for your feedback, looking for a lot of insight into what's going on. How do we help more people to farm better and take better care of the environment, make more money along the way? That's the plan.
Absolutely. So I think we're going to start this off by talking a little bit about it's springtime here. Yep. You know what I mean? And so we need to be thinking about that. Matter of fact, there was some guys that were trying to apply anhydrous today.
Manure yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Going out.
The anhydrous did not go well. They pulled out pretty quick. So just what are some of the things that you think are important to keep in mind as we get started moving towards thinking about planning?
Insight on that. Today's March 14th, 2018. We're in Southeast Iowa. So referring to that warm day, almost 60 degrees here today or so. Super nice out, sunny, and guys are itching to get things ready to go. And like I said, there are some guys getting stuff going out in the field. I think the biggest thing going into getting ready to plant, obviously making sure your planter is set up, running. Planter is probably your most important piece of equipment in the whole operation. We deal with a lot of guys who are trying to use no-till cover crops. A lot of you guys listening are fitting into that category.
Absolutely.
So your planter is definitely your most important piece of equipment. Can help you to avoid some of the issues that soil can give, but we need to be listening to our soils and make sure that we're not getting out there too early, especially in mind soil moisture, soil temperature, planting conditions. Not a huge incentive to go get out there super early, even though some of your neighbors might be really getting itching to go early, especially if it stays warm and sunny.
Absolutely. I saw an interesting thing. I was in Muscatine yesterday at a intercropping seminar. Actually, Michael Vito here, local intercropper, cover crop enthusiast, soil health enthusiast, hog farmer, Washington County enthusiast. Beer enthusiast. He was speaking, so we got a great opportunity to go up there and listen to him speak, and we actually put that on Facebook Live, so check that out. You can look Michael up. It's on his Facebook account, so if you want to catch that, if you didn't have the opportunity to go, it'd be great to, you know, get there and see that video, because he had some really interesting things to talk about. But Lauren Steinlogge, you know, from Union was speaking, and he's been intercropping and soil health for a long time. He's one of the pioneers here in the state of Iowa, and he showed he's got an ultra red camera that he uses on his phone to show the difference between his cover crop acres and the soil temperature versus that of, you know, the tilled soil. Because I think the biggest, one of the fallacies that we, conventional wisdoms in agriculture, is that we need to go till the soil to warm it up.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting seeing and I'm not just trying to bash tillage here by any means, but what I'm saying is it was really interesting seeing when you have that living plant growing, like that soil temperature was higher and consistently higher than that of the tilled ground next to it. So, I mean, you know, you talked about soil temperatures. One of the things to consider with your cover crops, if you have them out there, and we do a lot in Washington County, is everybody thinks I need to get out there really quick and get them terminated.
Yep.
And ahead of corn, there is some management things that makes sense with. But from a soil temperature perspective, you know, maybe there is some something to leaving that cover crop growing, keeping it green, and helping harvest that sunlight into your soil, yeah, warm those temperatures up, rather than just get out there and get it killed. So
what would be the point or the tie-in on soil moisture to that, drawing a little bit more of that moisture, you know, out quicker? Is that, sure, part of warming it up?
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna obviously, if that plant's growing, it's going to use moisture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also have to worry about the height of the cover crop and being, sure, able to manage that. So there's a lot of things to consider there. But most importantly, I think, oh, yeah, by the way, Ryan just showed up.
Hey,
here, just walked into the,
our first guest, yeah, already.
The live, we got one guest here at the live first episode. So, but one of the things to consider is just don't go out there and just terminate it. Think about, you know, what the long-term, short-term effects of keeping that thing living, to harvest that sunlight, to keep your, to warm your soils up, rather than just go up. Because once you kill that off, it's going to incubate, and you are no longer harvesting sunlight, and you're going to keep those soil temperatures cooler. Yes, it can, going back to your original question, it can use moisture, but, you know, in spring, we typically get moisture, so.
Still, yeah, a net, that you're still going to, yeah, get the moisture, and don't worry about it taking all the moisture out, because you're still going to get some put back in from the rain.
Absolutely.
With that tool that he's got, it's just on his phone. Is that something that, yeah, we could get, or the other farmers could get?
Yeah, I think he said it was just, you know, maybe just touch over $100.
Oh, okay, and so it's just an app. In. Oh, it plugs into your camera to give it that added deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, pretty cool. Sweet. And I think you can catch Lauren's presentation online as well. Okay. Check out our Facebook.
We'll have to try
page
to queue that up. Yeah, we'll get that queued for up, sure, on our pages. No, that's really cool. Okay, so with looking at that soil temperature, let's keep on that just for a little bit. How do we go out there and check that now with the tools that we have? I know there's some stuff coming with precision planting, new smart farmers and that's going to be able to tell you some of that stuff on the go. But if you're already out there going, that might be kind of too late though. You know, sure, you're already out there in the field for the smart farmer to work. You got to be planting in the field. And if you're finding out, oh, it's too wet to be out here, well, you're already out there.
Yeah.
So just other tips or whatever on getting out there and checking on some of that.
Well, if you're, it depends on the depth of your planting, right? So if you're planting at 2 inches, you should know before you start planting what the soil temperature is at 2 inches.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously being able to control your seed depth. So, you know, a lot of guys will check 2 inches, but they're planting 2.5, not by purpose, but because, you know,
on accident, not set, like, up right.
Yeah, right.
Not set,
so, up right. Understanding just there's really, and that takes nothing.
Yeah.
Go buy a thermometer from Walmart. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, it really doesn't take any sophisticated equipment. And I know that guys listening, like, know this, but, you know, it doesn't take super expensive or sophisticated equipment to be able to test your soil temperatures.
Yeah.
You know, and then as far as moisture goes, I mean, dig. You know, go
check
out there
it out.
Check
feel
it out.
Right? Feel it a little bit.
So, yeah. So, you know, they're just good management things to think about.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're, you know, you're doing the small things right so that you don't have big problems later.
What about thoughts on, okay, as you're going out there planting, you have some stuff that does maybe end up being a little bit too wet, a little bit too cold. What are thoughts on disease, seedling disease, getting that plant up out of the ground? How do we make sure that we're avoiding some of those issues?
That's a tough one, you know, right now, especially because there's, you know, we just came back from the Soil Health Academy. So a big talk up there was understanding your fungal to bacteria ratio. And maybe we probably could do a whole nother episode on just that. But, you know, there really is some things to consider with just seed applied fungicides, right? So if we're talking early seedling diseases, depending on what company you use, everybody's got their own fungicide, you know, but for the most part, controlling Pythium or controlling Fusarium, those early seedling diseases around here, that's tend to affect most of our crops. You know, whatever form of metal axle that you're using that's controlling that is going to do a fairly good job. But the question is, what are the effects of that? You know, what are the effects of seed treatment? I'm definitely not trying to just downgrade seed treatment, but are we doing more harm than we're doing good? Mm-hmm. What's your opinion?
When you're looking at biology, being tied into that, that, yeah, you're trying to get the good guys going and the bad guys. Well, some of these treatments, they don't see the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. Yeah, we're going to be doing a little bit of soil testing this year, trying to really hone in on what specific species do we have out there and help guys be more specific with those tools, the seed treatments and whatnot that we can use. So I think there's some things coming there as guys try to do better and some of those technologies can get kind of expensive. What about being able to avoid some of that early on with, especially going back to cover crop and mm-hmm. termination? What are your thoughts on how do we get this terminated now, right now? For some reason, our cover crop this year is not big mm-hmm. for the most part.
Yeah, sure.
Really small. How do we look at termination right now as we've got maybe another month or so before we really got to get the stuff killed?
Yeah, and I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver on this, but we should put up some photos because it's really cool to look at last year at this time where our cover crop yeah. was versus where we're at this year. I mean, it's a world of difference in growth.
Yeah.
I was just talking yesterday to a guy about why that is, you know, so maybe we start there and just helping guys kind of maybe understand what is the biggest difference. And I think if you remember 2 years ago, a week before Christmas, it was 75 degrees. You know, the growing degree days that stretched into the fall last year were astronomical compared to what we had this year. When it got cold this year, it stayed cold. And so we didn't start at the same point in the spring. So understanding where you're starting at right from the beginning is important in your management. I mean, we talk about, you know, keeping that rye living or keeping that cover crop living. Well, understanding where you're going in is important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that got away from us last year. But once you kill that cover crop off, it essentially turns to a mulch, right? It mm-hmm. stops using and starts covering.
Yeah.
And so you have to think of it like that. Like if my soils are cool and I kill off a fairly big cover crop,
it's just going to lay down.
And it's going to compound that
issue.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, so you have to be willing. That's why everybody wants to talk about planting green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because when it's green,
still
that cover upright. Crop's living, you're keeping that soil warm.
Yeah.
You're helping yourself out to get to emergence.
Yeah.
To get that seed to emerge. So once you kill it off, now you are reversing that. So, you know, you just need to really, you know, you need to keep that in mind. So, I got a phone call right there. I'll give a shout out to Mitch Elliott there in Ainsworth, Iowa, another great Washington County farmer. Triticale, you know, and that's something that we're going to be talking about quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, implementing cover crops into your enterprises that you're dealing with on your farm. And obviously, if you have cattle, cover crops are that's a trump card. You know what I mean?
For like, sure.
That alleviates so many problems that you can run into.
Yeah. So that's what some of the Iowa State economic analysis kind of data is looking at right now too, of with the cattle. Yeah. Okay. So guys in the area using triticale for cattle, seeing better value. That's definitely the talk is mm-hmm. triticale's got a little bit better feed value than rye or wheat.
Sure.
Obviously combination there, getting some synergistic effects coming out of that. So yeah, definitely a good tool to be able to help guys out, but basically treating it at this point the same though as rye, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
if you're going to plant into it.
And it comes at such a premium of a cost that you're not using triticale for anything other than feed, right? Because it doesn't make sense.
Like, right.
It's function. So triticale is, for anybody who doesn't know, is a genetic cross between wheat and rye. So it has that feed value that comes from the higher feed value of wheat, but it gets you more tonnage than wheat. Mm-hmm. So rye gives you more tonnage. So you're kind of blending both of those two worlds and getting a pretty good product.
Sure.
Has better protein if you go get it at the right stage. You know, if you're going and chopping that at that boot stage, you're getting some really cheap, really good feed. If you're using it to stabilize soil, you're getting a pretty premiumly priced product to stabilize soil. So
that's where it's more just a cereal rye for right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but having cattle, and I know that there's big talks, you know, going back to Mitch there, we're giving this kind of little shout out to really big into trying to solve this direct marketing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And trying to feed that urban consumer direct from the farm and doing things in a different way to try and be profitable in his enterprises. So look for some really good things.
That's story for the future on direct market kind of stuff, finding new markets that we can't even get.
Yeah.
We don't want to get started.
Right?
Okay. So to wrap up for the day though, basically biggest thing, number one takeaway for the next month leading into start of planting, number one thing that you're looking at?
Managing that cover crop. Understanding the implications of that cover crop and how that is affecting your system. And what happens if I leave it, and what happens if I terminate it, and understanding what those consequences are, be prepared for which one you're most likely want to deal with, and then, you know, move forward. But yeah, that would be the biggest thing, is understanding your management and how you're going to take care of a cover if you have one. If you don't, great. Understand your soil temperatures. You know, look at the forecasts. And play that game, you know, put yourself in a good position to get some good emergence.
I think my thing is just understanding, yeah, with your cover crop, but that cover crop effect on nutrient availability, understanding where your nutrients are at based on what you applied in the fall, what was left over from last year, what you've applied here this spring, what you're going to apply, knowing where your nutrient availability is at, and working to optimize nutrients, be more profitable. So my thing, so. Good stuff here for today. Absolutely. We've got lots more to come. Excited to keep delivering these podcasts, trying to add value. We'd love to know what you guys want to talk about, and we'll keep hammering away.
Yeah, leave us some comments, ask us some questions, and we look forward to doing this again pretty quick.
Game on. I ran my mouth off.